done. Ready to go.
That's what I thought. They're going to be asking the questions right up here. Don't we need to put it on there?
No, they'll pick up over the PA.
Okay. Okay, I think we're prepared now. We'll go ahead and get started. This feels a little bit like church to me, and a couple people sit up front, and then everybody else is hiding in the back. It might be easier if everybody moved a little bit closer, so one, we can see you. It's because of my age, I'll admit. And then we can hear the questions easier. So just a couple of things. If you have questions tonight and you plan to make comment or ask questions, there are speaker slips outside on the table. If not, Anne, do you have some extras? Or they're up here on the top. So we would ask you to fill out a speaker slip so that we know which sections you're going to be asking questions or making comment on. We are going to be going very specifically through the regulations as far as taking comment from you. This is really your chance to speak on any questions or concerns that you have on the regulations. If by chance you're here to talk about the merits of cannabis for or against, this is the wrong meeting. That meeting happened last year. The ordinance was passed in March, and this is really just focused on the regulations and those that are wishing to be in the industry or interested in what's going to be allowed in Chula Vista. The regulations take that deep dive into what will be expected of somebody through the phases in getting an application accepted and reviewed in Chula Vista, or reviewed and potentially accepted. And then just as a reminder, we very intentionally created our ordinance last year and then the regulations now, along with a tax measure that is on the ballot for November 6th. If the tax measure passes on November 6th, then all of this will go forward. Within 30 days, we'll be prepared to take applications. If it does not pass on November 6th, cannabis will continue to be illegal in all shapes and forms in the city of Chula Vista until, you know, such time that the city, you know, would choose to do something different. So just so you know, just because we approve the ordinance and regulations, it's really based on the voters of Chula Vista to decide whether they want to continue forward. So real quickly, just to let you know who's on the panel up here, starting on my far right, we have Justin Gibson, who is a fire division chief in our fire department. We have David Billaby, who is our finance director with the city. Kelly Broughton, who is the director of development services. I'm Kelly Bacon, I'm the deputy city manager. Megan McClurg, who is one of our crack city attorneys here. Mike Varga, who is a sergeant in the police department. Glenn Guggins, our city attorney. And Lou Alcazin, who is our deputy building official, chief building official. I'm probably getting it wrong.
It's okay.
He's a chief of something, but he works with code and building and those folks. So that tells you who your panel is. We're really looking to you to come forward, ask questions, make comment on the regulations, and we're going to start off with phase one of the application process, subsection 501 on your regulations.
We gotten speaker slips turned in?
And at this point, we have no speaker slips. So does anybody have any questions on phase one of the process? And just to also let you know, if you're not prepared to ask questions tonight or make comment on the regulations, you can go to www.chulavistaca.gov/cannabis. You will find the ordinance there. You will find the regulations there. If you don't have a copy of the regulation tonight and you would like it, I set copies outside on the table out there. There is a place where you can click to make comment on these regulations, and you can go in there once you've maybe had a chance to take spend a lot of time really looking at the regs, and you can ask your questions, you can make your comments in there. We'll get those. Every question that comes in, we're going to be posting them along with our staff response. We'll do the same tonight. Any questions that anybody has tonight, we'll be posting them on our website along with staff response to those questions. So everybody will get the exact same information. Before we move on, do we have any questions? Does anybody have any questions or comments on Phase 1, Subsection 501 of the regs? Maybe I should ask, is anybody going to have any questions on anything in the regulations tonight? You do, Jason. Okay. Nothing in subsection 1? Okay. It was not our intent that we would set and read through each of these regulations tonight. They've been posted for a while. They'll continue to be posted, and we'll continue to take comment until the end of the month. Phase 2 of the application process, subsection 502. Does anybody have any comment or questions on phase 2 of the application process? Okay. I'm not sure if this is good or bad. Okay, subsection 600, the location requirements. Does anyone have any comments, questions? Yes, sir. And if you would come to the microphone, please.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you'll just let us know who you are and then ask your question.
I'm sorry, my name is Mike Rangel of the Senate. You said the property deadens. I'm not paraphrasing, but what you just said, how do I get a list of where is accurate or the where do you look to do this? Like for storefronts and stuff like that.
The ordinance that was approved by City Council pretty well established that. It established the zones that you can do it in. The city has the zoning available on its website, so you can go on the website and look for the zoning. So you can look at a general zoning map and see where those zones exist, or you can look at specific properties and see if it's in the zone that the use that you're looking for. Storefronts are allowed wherever retail sales are permitted. So any zone that would allow, that have commercial zones, there are specific commercial zones that are listed in the ordinance, and there's unique, specific plan zones in some parts of the city that aren't labeled, and so if they allow commercial sales, retail sales of other goods or commodities, then generally retail sales for cannabis is also allowed in those zones.
Thank you. Just answer my questions here.
Thank you. Yeah, the it would apply everywhere. I mean, whatever use you're looking for is listed in the zoning ordinance. So just read that. It'll direct you to the sections of the code that you need to look for in order to determine if those uses that you're looking for. So if you're trying to do an industrial use, the uses are outlined in the code for what's allowed in an industrial zone and what zones are allowed in. Same with commercial for retail sales. Also, cannabis sales is also allowed in industrial. But it's allowed through a conditional use permit process for storefront retailers.
Thank you. Any other questions on location requirements? Yes, sir.
Can you clarify that the CUP is needed for retail?
Storefront retailers in industrial zones. Again, all of the uses are subject to separation requirements, so that is something you need to be cognizant of. If you're looking for business locations, you need to check the sensitive uses that are listed in the municipal code, the cannabis ordinance, in order to make sure that you're far enough away, and you need to make sure you pay attention to the measuring distances that's outlined. It even has pictures in the ordinance, so you can understand how we're going to measure the distances.
My name is Jason Bullis. I have a question about the ability to location requirements for producing compounds that go inside of cannabis products that don't involve the cannabis plant. So whether that be flavors added or other means of producing cannabinoids, such as THC or CBD, outside of the cannabis plant, are those going to be required to be in the same locations as cannabis locations too?
I would suggest that it's a question I would put back on the industry. If you think at some point in time your manufacturing may want to include that, I would look at the separation requirements as though you were. That way you'd be safe.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on location? Subsection 800, operating requirements. Yes, sir. Please come forward.
unless the ordinance passes in November, cannabis is still legal in Chula Vista Assembly and Chula
Vista. Well, I wouldn't say still legal. It's not legal now, but it will become legal if within 30 days.
Devil's advocate, the shops that are on Third Avenue, let's say, you know, those people obviously aren't going to be able to apply because they're already mixed in the business, but let's say one of those places is in the ordinance. Would it be okay to go and speak to the landlords if they were in the right spot, but, you know, I think they might be the wrong retailer per se, but let's say a couple of places that are there seem to be good buildings to fix up and make correct, you know, if as a base, because none of them are really up to par as far as if you have a legal dispensary or retail shop, I'm sorry. But would you be able to do that to where there was one already there prior that wasn't permitted?
I'm going to let Megan McClurg, our city attorney, respond to that.
So if you have the same property owner who was the property owner when an illegal use was there, they would be disqualified as an applicant. So you would not be able to use that property because the owner of that property would be disqualified.
Okay, so what if, for example, you bought one of the properties off the owner, did you then apply to it, or then does that wash it, or...
If there's a new owner who hasn't been cited previously for illegal or been involved in illegal operations, then that person would not be disqualified. So that location wouldn't be disqualified.
Thank you.
Any other questions on operating requirements? A lot of information in there. So again, if you're not prepared to ask a question tonight, please make your comments on the website so that we can get back to you and respond. The next section is 1600 and deals with security measures. Does anyone have any comments or questions on the security measure requirement? Subsection 2000, inventory audit. Any questions on the inventory audit? Subsection 3000, the tax payment process. Jason?
My name is Jason Bolas again. This follows up from my previous question. And so if we're going to be making compounds that are produced in the cannabis plant, but not from cannabis, is it still following the same taxable payment process as normal cannabis? So imagine a facility that doesn't take any cannabis in, but yet can produce pure cannabinoids, such as CBD. Will that also fall under the same taxable process as normal cannabis?
Are you talking about synthetic?
Yeah, synthetic, biosynthetic. There's a variety of ways to make these.
Yeah,
compounds.
I don't know that that's been determined yet or discussed.
I think because we've only begun to discuss it, just because you've been asking questions lately about it. We definitely would have to look at it. I think you'd want to make sure that if you're licensed by the state or you're required to be licensed by the state, we would probably treat it the same as cannabis produced by a plant.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So, going back to any other questions on the tax payment process? Okay, that's the entire regulations. It's a lot more information than that. So I'll give everybody a minute longer or a few minutes longer if you have any other questions or if you just want to, you know, we'll be around here for a little bit. But yes, sir, please come up.
My name is Carlos Ariza. How accurate is the draft to the final draft? Because to me, it's pretty clear, all the information.
Yeah, if you have read our ordinance and now read the regulation or the draft regulations on top of it, I would say it's pretty close. I mean, we're, you know, this process and the process toward to the end of the month of accepting comments from the public is an opportunity for us to consider things that you all have might bring forward. We've gotten a couple of questions today, and you know, that were put on the website that I don't have with me right now, but
you know. any important change that there might be in the regulation?
No, I'm not aware of any.
I was just going to say maybe some refinements to the process, but we had hoped that we would get some comments on it first. So I really like you to, those who are interested in going through the process, the phase one process is probably the important thing. If you don't get past that, none of the other regulations really apply to you. You've got to make it past that cut list. So I'd want you to look through that process and how the city's going to select based upon your performance in that process and give us any thoughts you might have on it. I think that's probably the portion of the regulations that we spent a lot of time on. And the location requirements, that would be also another one. We really didn't get a lot of comment on that through the public process, but there is a possibility that there may be ordinance amendments that may go along with these discussions that we've had on these regulations.
You mentioned on the location requirements that you would have, that the city would have their own guidelines on how they're measuring the distances.
Yes, that's already in the ordinance. It's already laid out in the ordinance, so you should definitely look at these regulations go hand in hand with the ordinance.
And in the ordinance, it actually has pictures to show things like path of travel and such, so that it's pretty clear.
Thank you.
So any other questions before yes, sir, Francisco?
Just a couple of questions that were asked in the back that I could not answer. One is, what is the expected time frame for the applications, assuming that the tax ordinance is approved by the voters on November the 6th?
So it's late.
Just a rough time frame.
So if it's approved on November 6th, we'll be prepared to go forward in 30 days. So once we lay out the initial application period, we'll give a 14-day notice of that application period, and then that application period will be 5 days. But the city manager has the ability to reopen it if we don't get enough applications. Or
so is that 30 days from the date of the election or 30 days from certification?
Well, 30 days from the date of election, because we would need that in order to make sure that the election was certified.
Okay, but yeah, usually it takes nowadays about 30 days to right. certify the election.
That's why we put the 30 days in there.
So we're still thinking roughly beginning mid of December for initial application process.
Yes.
And the other question
that could change, of course, Francisco, where there's some issues we're wrestling with, but I think the idea is that the intent is to get up and going as soon as possible, and that's why we've got all these regs out in advance, even of the vote, so that everything will be queued up. But there could be some delays. The key thing, I think, that Kelly pointed out was there will be at least 14-day notice to the application pool to let everybody know when that application period is going to commence.
And so to get on part of the application pool, they should register on the website.
So if they go to www.chulavistaca.gov/cannabis, that not only will they find the ordinances, the regulations, all other information we posted, but that's where you can go and put in your name, your email address, and so when we post updates, you're going to get them.
They'll automatically be notified.
Yes, that is correct.
The other question somebody posed to me was who will be doing the scoring on the merit part of the application?
So after you get past the phase one and phase two part of the process,
just phase one,
we will have an outside consultant that will be assisting with the scoring on the merit phase. That will not be this staff here.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. One additional point in that area, someone had asked, how close to a final draft are these regs? And we think pretty close. But one of the areas I know we've talked about and we are likely to expand is in the merit-based category listing. We're working on coming up with some additional verbiage to give people an idea of not with great specificity, but at least a general idea of how we're going to be looking at and scoring these different categories: liquid assets, the business plan, the operating plan, experience qualifications, so people have a gist of how much effort they should put in and the kinds of information that we'll be looking for and that the merit-based analyst will be looking for in determining where people might fall within those categories. So if we're going to do anything more, I can see that being fleshed out more before we finalize. And again, if anybody in the industry or a prospective applicant has some ideas about that, we're certainly open to input from the industry and the community to help us articulate that better.
Great, thank you.
But for the individual that did call me today, it is not first comes, first serve. So that's one of the questions that has come in isn't it just whoever gets their application filled out the fastest? And that's not the case. As we discussed during the ordinance period, you know, as we move forward, if this is passed, we'll be looking for the very best operators.
This is Jason Bullis again. I just wanted to follow up with a comment about Glenn's response. I would really emphasize, you know, there's amount of liquid assets that companies can have, but emphasizing innovation and technology, a lot of times these companies come with very little liquid assets at hand. Allowing them to explore in the city and build their technologies could be something that could potentially be interesting, allow companies to grow. So instead of having, you know, huge amounts of liquid assets at the beginning, but allowing them to develop their technology and grow through that and then grow with the city is something that could be potentially interesting to everybody here. Thank you.
Hi, sorry, my name is Sapphire Blackwood. Just a clarifying question. I came in a little bit late. I'm not sure if this was addressed or not, but there's a public comment portion of the online page on the website. When is that public comment period over?
End of September. So September, is it 30 or 31 days?
30.
So that's when we will stop the public input. And then as you weren't here when we talked about this, so any comments that come into that, we will go ahead and post them out to the cannabis page along with staff response. So everybody sees every question and everybody sees every response.
But those can be general comments as well. As you said, we can post our input on what merit would be and such from people from the industry.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other questions right now? I'll go ahead and read to you just so you have an idea of what's already been posted on the web. One question today was the initial application period of 5 days is short. Perhaps clarifying it is business days and extending might be appropriate. We did update that, and I think the individual is looking at an old version. It is business days, and the city manager can extend that period of time. The second question relates to posting at proposed premises. It says, this appears to allow several storefront retailers to apply using the same address or landlord. Was this the original intent of the ordinance, and does it allow for landlords to charge fees for allowing multiple applicants to use their address for application purposes? That's the start of the question. And then it goes on, if you cannot disallow address use, fees by premise landowners or landlords, or allow for only one applicant per address, can you require disclosure from all applicants if this is the case, that the applicant was required to pay fees and what exactly they paid and to whom for those fees were paid in a sworn statement to assure full transparency in this process? I don't know that we've thought that far ahead. That's something for us to consider. And this was a major issue in the city of Santa Ana, as they had several dozen applicants, all with the same address, but hidden behind a series of several LLCs to shield identity, and the city was subsequently sued. For awarding licenses when someone had stacked the deck, as it were. The next one was, it appears that the applications for phase one shall have all of the information regarding the merits of the applicants, but this is determined in phase one along with the police chief and the city manager. Is this correct? Phase one approvals will be solely the chief of police and the city manager, and then the actual merits will be weighed and determined in phase one. Then those will be processed to phase two. Perhaps a clarification of that within the regulations will avoid confusion in the process. We will put this into the comment section. You'll see it. You'll see our response. We haven't had a chance to go through these, but I think there's a little bit of confusion on that one and what we have. And then the last one was, this may not be as under subsection 800, which is the operation requirements. This may not be as necessary as codified, as all products manufactured and produced within the seed-to-cell tracking system in California must be completely sealed after testing, making odor almost a non-issue. There may be small samples available for customers to smell, but it will be a nominal amount, and this requirement, while burdensome, is not uncommon. It may require less of a mechanical and engineering plan than originally designed prior to state regulations on odor-proof packaging for all products sold. I mean, that's more of a comment. So far, those are the only comments we have received on our website. Does anybody have anything else that you want to ask, share, comment on? Sapphire?
I have a request. I requested today via email if there was any sort of alert system to be in the know of when these meetings would go on. And I was told to just kind of check on the website, but maybe there could be an alert.
So if you go to the website, there's a place and where you can go in and put in your name and contact information. And it's if you go to whether it's regulations or ordinance, but you'll find it there. I know it's posted under the regulations. And then anytime we post something new, for example, like a meeting like this, it will go to you. So there were probably 8 or 9 people who had already signed up and registered on there to be notified, and they got notice of this meeting tonight. So we will do that, but I would say keep checking the cannabis site. Make sure that you get your email in there so that anytime if we add another meeting or if we update a regulation or an ordinance, we're going to kick it out to everybody that's registered on there. Anything else? Any comments from any of the panel? If not, then I think that's it for tonight. Thanks for coming, and we look forward to getting your comments and suggestions on the website. Thank you.